Emerge Mothers Academy is proud to present the To Emerge podcast, monthly interviews centered on empowering mothers. Our desire is to have you walk away believing that you can do this. You have the ability to rise up and the capacity to emerge. Today, you're going to hear from a wonderful woman who is making great strides in her business and also as she takes on speaking. I mean, we're talking TEDx speaker here, guys. You're going to meet my friend, Janita Flowers, who runs Janita's Jar, a cookie company that is so much about recreating life, finding purpose, walking away with power from domestic and divorce, and a woman who says, you know, when you get comfortable, you stop pursuing, you stop searching and seeking, and then there's no growth pursued when you just sit in the comfort zone. You're going to hear this today, and you're also going to hear about a very tangible exercise that she used when she was exploring her career, her passion, her purpose. She used a certain mind activity that you could also do on paper to write down things that people tell you you're good at or ways that you made strides in a previous career or a list of attributes that you have that would make you successful in a certain industry. So listen for that great exercise. And now, enjoy the interview with Janita. Hey guys, welcome to this week's episode with someone I really enjoy. And you will too. This is my good friend, Twin Cities native, and mom to two, Janita Flowers. I just love her energy. We're going to get into so many of the things that she has accomplished, even just in the last 3 years of her life, when she decided to take hold and become her own best champion so that her kids could see a mom who chose to rise up. So, Janita, what up, girl?
Hey, so good to see you. It's so good to be here.
I know. So long overdue. I mean, what did we try to make this happen? A year now?
You know, following purpose and divine connections. See, you got to wait on the timing.
But I get that TEDx beat me out. TEDx beat my podcast. So,
you know, that was kind of a big deal. But Ted's our friend.
See, Ted. See. Will you interlace into the last decade the TEDx thing and being an entrepreneur? But I want to go into motherhood and becoming a single mom too. Will you take us into your story?
So, as you mentioned, I'm a mom to two amazing children. Actually, the mom to teenagers, so that makes me a superhero. I am from the Twin Cities. I've known since I was 12 years old that I wanted to be an entrepreneur. And I remember asking my father every year, like, Dad, could you start your own business? And primarily because I knew as an entrepreneur that if something didn't exist, you could create it. Like, beyond that, I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I just knew if something wasn't available, then entrepreneurs just make it available. And so that stuck with me. And so kind of as life progressed, I was married for 14 years, had my two beautiful children. Life got hard. I've been divorced for 5. And it was when I was going through my divorce process and I was thinking to myself, I want to launch my cookie company.
Yeah.
But I had nothing. I mean, divorce, you have nothing. You're brokenhearted. You feel like life has totally passed you by because I was like 42. Like, how does this happen to me? I thought I was doing things the air quote right way with, you know, just being, trying to be a good wife, just all those things. You think you're living your life where you're supposed to live it. And then the bottom falls out. And so I was thinking, now's probably the time to launch my business. When most people are going through divorce, they're thinking, let's find safety, you know, just predictability and security while we figure life out. I'm like, you know, I'm already at rock bottom. So if my business were to fail, the worst thing that I thought could happen at that moment, since I felt like life had just completely passed me by, was I'd lose a place to live and I'd have to go move in with my parents.
Right.
Well, none of us planned for that in our 40s. I decided that that was a chance I was willing to take. And 5 years later, we're still in our humble town home. We're still living life and I'm still pursuing my business. And so it was at that moment where I decided to take a chance on myself.
Yeah.
It was, you know, if for some reason it didn't work and it failed, I taught my children to go after what you believe in. And it was when I was going through my planner and my daughter had written a note, you know, it's kind of that age where they're always writing in your stuff and you're finding these notes. And this one happened to be, Mom, she had never said anything to me about it. She had never presented to me. It was just sort of turning the pages in the notes section of my planner. And it was, Mom, I'm so proud of you.
Oh, my gosh.
You are my inspiration. And it was some other line. And I'm thinking like, oh, my gosh, I came to tears. I'm like, you know what? If I don't have anything but the pursuit of a dream, my kids will know that they should always go after what they believe in. And so that's where I am today. And as a part of that, going through that really low place, because you get comfortable, you know, like life happens and you, at some point you stop pursuing or searching or seeking and you're comfortable because comfort isn't necessarily a bad thing for where you are today. There's just no growth that's produced in the comfort zone. So it was when life was disrupted and life was really hard and I really didn't have anything else to fall back on. And not that I think everybody needs to go through divorce to get there. We all have our own little trials or tribulations that gets us to the place where we have to look ourselves in the mirror and say, what is next? And so that's when I decided I got to figure this out. And you're looking at what skills do I have to be able to feel good about who I am, be able to provide for my family, and be able to feel like I'm making a difference in the world. And for me, because my faith is also a big part of who I am, okay, God, what am I on this earth for? I don't want to exist. And I'm in my 40s. I never thought I'd be here. As a matter of fact, I'm kind of mad at you for being here because I thought you were going to help fix every single thing that happened in my life. And that's when I decided to really begin to look at what gifts do I possess? What was I created for? What am I supposed to do beyond consume, beyond work, beyond just exist? And that's when speaking started to be a thing in my life that fed me, but also fed other people. And that's where I am today.
And when you had those moments where you're like looking in the mirror and thinking, this isn't just about the kids, this is also about purpose. Were you quick to climb out of the pit because you wanted to find purpose? Or is that just part of your own grieving process? Now, I know that sounds weird to say that, like, in the midst of grieving, people start producing results, but that is the way some people put to death a dream that's gone. They rebuild something. Is that what was motivating you?
You know, it just in this past November of 2019 is when I did my TEDx talk. And the topic is, it all begins with hope. So now this in November 2019 is hindsight, right? Because I'm using everything that happened those 5 years of trying to work through divorce. I didn't know that I was going to get here, but it was hope that kept me going. On those days when I would be laying in bed, because all I had the energy to do was get up, get my kids on the bus to go to school, and I get back in the bed, and I was in the bed all day because I needed to. I knew that I was on the verge of not making it. But I knew there was just enough where I knew I couldn't give up because my kids were counting on me. And there was this little thing in the back of my mind that said, what if there's more? And if I stay here in this bed, I'll never be able to see what that is. But I didn't have the strength at the time to pursue it. I didn't even have the energy or the motivation to begin to look for it. Yep. But hope is a beautiful thing. And it's that, it's this sort of force. It's this belief system that even when you don't have any energy or strength, it will pull you through. And pulling you through may just be that I slept all day and I was able to get up when my kids got home enough so they didn't see their mom, like, always sad, but enough where they thought, okay, she's not the way she always is, but she seems to be kind of okay. So they can enjoy life. Like, their life isn't totally disrupted. And that was really what got me going. And that's really got me searching deeper. And hope is a beautiful thing because it carries you along. Mm-hmm. It's not like this thing that just overtakes you and I got to figure it out now. Nope. Slowly my sleep times became shorter. Yeah. And then next thing you know, I'm showering and I'm fully dressed. And I care about what I have on. You know, before, as long as I just had on a sheet, like, you know, it's like I didn't care about anything.
Oh, I know.
But it was like, so then you're slowly coming out. And so now as I'm slowly coming out, I'm starting to think, okay, what are the things in my life that either past bosses have commended me on or people always compliment me on or things that I felt good in or I felt like I was excelling in? So I can begin to think about now, what do I do? What am I supposed to do next? And that's slowly how I began the process and just kind of the research of trying to determine what my purpose is. And through all of that and spending time really going deep into it, not just being okay with finding another job and, like, even looking at what things do I not want to do? What things am I not good at? What things do I know if I go into a job today, I'm going to fail? And so I had to do all these things to pull together. And then that's when I was able to come up with exactly what I was put on this earth to do. But the thing about purpose is it's always bigger than us, and we're always going to be growing into it. But once we're able to articulate it and identify it, it creates a path that begins to make sort of the forward momentum a little bit more clear. It's not easy. It's not predictable. It's not fearless, meaning there's no fear in it, but there's clarity.
Yeah.
And clarity is a thing that always gets us back. Okay, I don't really know what the next step is, but I know what the next step needs to contain.
Yep. I don't necessarily know the direction, but I know where my own feet go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, man. That is so powerful that even just the way you explain hope is it's not achieved on day one getting out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to start as this little tiny belief way down in the belly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to have to hinge on something way bigger than yourself, which mm-hmm. is, yes, your children, but also purpose.
Yep.
It's just so powerful. Like, if we don't have hope, we're a heart that's off
mm-hmm.
and it's very hard to find yourself again.
Right. And then you start, when you think about it, like every single one of us has a purpose, and we have a purpose that out of all the billions of people on the planet, there's no one that can deliver our purpose like we can. Yeah. And of course, it's not that clear when you're hurting on the bed that first day, that first month, that first year. But hope is that force that it just kind of pulls you. Mm. And in within all of that, now for me, my hope is it rests in my faith. Like, it's bigger than me. It's my faith and my belief in God. But that's not everybody's story.
Right.
Whatever they're finding their hope in, you got to latch onto it. Because if you do, it will definitely carry you from that place of despair to that place of purpose and clarity. But it does it based on you and who you are. So it's not trying to accelerate something that's perfect for Becca when it's Janita in the place of despair. Nope. If it's Janita in despair, it's going to work the way Janita works.
Yeah.
It's going to encourage the way Janita needs encouragement. It's been an amazing experience. As everybody says, of course, when you're in it, you would never say that, and you want it to go away, and you feel forsaken, and you feel forgotten, and you feel like the whole world is going by and you're just here. But looking back, the latter days or the days when you're older, there's more that's going to happen and there's more clarity than when you were younger. And I can honestly say that is so true
mm-hmm.
because I was chasing career and profession and family in the earlier part. And there's nothing wrong with those things. So I was doing those things. And my goal was to, gain, success or financial stability or find that spouse and get those kids and all of the things. And those things are beautiful. But the beautiful thing about this season of my life is there's a deeper meaning that is so much bigger than me, and I've tapped into it.
Yeah. Oh my word. Yes. And only tapped, right?
Yes.
We haven't even seen the full.
No.
I also love that you shared this, not just like a belief of what is to come and purpose, but you actually had an exercise that you challenged yourself with, whether you wrote it down or not, but thinking about like, well, what have past employers complimented me on? This is a tangible exercise people can do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even in your bed, if you can't get out of bed today, do this, do what Janita just said. Think about what people are always complimenting mm-hmm. you on. Think about what people have called you out for and been like, well, I'm asking you to do it because you're the best one. I mean, this is your purpose, guys. It will start to reveal itself more and more. Like you said, it's going to grow,
mm-hmm.
but you got to start it based on like what has already been imparted on you. What are you equipped to do? Like, mm-hmm. let's start here.
Exactly. It's like a roadmap to get us to where we need to be, even though it's so much bigger than us and we'll never be able to rely on ourselves. But there's a starting point.
Mm-hmm.
There's a starting point that gets us going. And there's nothing like moving forward when you know there is something deeper. Even on my days today where I'm like, really, this is so hard, or what am I doing? On those days when I'm questioning everything, because let's be serious, there are days I just want an easy button. Like, I just want life to be easy. But purpose is so much bigger than we are that that's just not the case.
Right.
But it's still there and it's still working even on the days when I don't feel it or I don't understand it or I just want to quit. It's that hope that ignites again. It gives me a second to take a break, to refresh, self-care, whatever those things are so that I can be replenished. Because purpose isn't designed to take us out and, kind of deplete us. But there are times when I have to step back. Okay, Janita, you need to regroup, and then you step back into that space.
No kidding. No kidding. And how much do you think that the ages of your kids almost helped the process for you? Like, what about the mom who's got a 2- and a 4-year-old?
You know, the seasons are different.
Just hard. I mean, yours is hard too.
Because our kids need us in such a different way when they're so young. Like, they're relying on us for everything. Probably the thing about when they're younger, although they're requiring so much of us emotionally, sometimes we can create a system where things are just kind of rote. Like, okay, I bathe them, I feed them.
True.
Where I can sort of check out intellectually because I'm not having conversations with them, but that allows me to create this system of I can just keep doing. Now, it's still exhausting because you're doing all the time and you're probably not getting a lot of sleep, but I think when I look at both of those seasons, it's there was a little bit more predictability and routine, and I had a little bit more, I hate to use the word control, but a little bit more control, meaning I still was in charge of what happened in the home with the younger ones.
I absolutely get what you're saying. I mean, the challenge is to push back on a mom with a 2- and a 4-year-old. Like, well, that's not fair. Janita has time to capture purpose. And here I am with a 2- and 4-year-old. But you're saying that's the luxury, is you know every night when bath time is. Mm-hmm. And you know during bath time is your journaling time. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sorry, I don't want your toddler excuses.
Right.
Or your teen. Whoever you are parenting at whatever age, you have to carve out the time to find this purpose.
Right. I mean, it's a job that it's actually a calling when you think about parenting. And it's always going to be something that's going to require effort and work at every season. At this age, you know, you have the beauty of hindsight and wisdom, but you have that when your kids are 2 and 4 and you think about, okay, what was life like before I had them and what life is like now? How can I begin to incorporate some of those things into this new system I have? And so now that my kids are older, they require, I don't have the same level of control that I had before. Yes, I'm the parent, but it becomes more of a democracy. If you want to live in harmony with your kids, it's not going to be, I said so, I'll do it, you do it when I say it. All of those things. It really is. Now I have to really factor in who you are as a young adult person that's starting to gather your own thoughts and beliefs and values, and you're challenging mine sometimes just to get a, you know, because you want, as a teenager, you want to be your own individual. So if I say, you know what, our family is a family that believes red is the best color for your accent wall. Nope, we like blue. And it's not because I really like blue, but it's because I really want to identify myself outside of who you are.
Yeah,
and
good so for the them, though.
Yes, right. You know, you just said 5 years ago you didn't like blue ever. Like, you hated blue. So it's just because I want to see who I am outside of you. And sometimes I want to see how you're going to respond to it. Are you going to reject me? Are you going to yell at me? Are you? So it's like really learning to be flexible and let go of your own opinions and who you are when you're parenting teenagers.
No kidding.
Because they require you to be there emotionally in a very different way than when they're 2 and 4.
Mm. Like, it's true.
Totally different way.
Yeah. Right. The physical demand with younger kiddos is intense. Mm-hmm. But the emotional and psychological demand of having teens, because you are shaping their worldview, right? They're going to grind up everything they think about the world against how you react.
They're watching every single thing we do. And yeah, they are watching when they're 2 and 4, but they're watching how we're using our fork. Or, you know, they're watching us pour a beverage in a cup. Or they're watching us, you know, walk. They're watching us sort of do the activity.
Yeah.
Where they're watching our teenagers are watching the intent. They're watching the consistency. They're watching, are you like doing the thing that you're actually saying? Are you, you know, honest? Are you truthful? Like, can I really trust you? They're watching us in a completely different way. And we have to be able to deliver in a way that's authentic to who we are and our parenting style. But also, it respects and uplifts and motivates and encourages these beautiful human beings that we are in charge of shaping.
I know. And the thing is, it's like, what a job. The fact that you will build the capacity of respect because you do what you say. Mm-hmm. Like, you actually live up to it. You get to motivate them because you earned the credit.
Right.
And then they're going to write in your planner, like, Mom, you're so inspiring.
It's
because you're doing the work.
Right. And even when you don't think they're watching, you know, when we moved into our townhome and, you know, coming from, you know, your suburban home, two parents and your kids, where, you know, you had the schedule and all those things. When we moved in, I said, okay, the cape is off. Whatever supermom cape that I was wearing, not on purpose, but I was somehow. This is equal opportunity. We all do our own laundry. I'll do all the linens or things that, you know, we all share. But I taught my son at 9. This is how you sort. This is how you do your laundry. I mean, I had to bring them in.
Yeah.
The feeling of teamwork had to shift. It was no longer mom as the authoritative figure and then the kids as the, you know, the cabinet supporting the authority figure. No, it was, this is a team effort. Mm-hmm. I'm setting the tone for the home, but we are all in this together. We talk about what's for dinner together and we take turns preparing that meal. Yeah. Everything that we're able to do at our levels, we're in this together and we're going to do it because I can't do it alone, even though I'm still setting the tone for the home where I'm technically in charge.
Yeah.
We're a team.
Yeah. You just gave me the most beautiful visual of, you know, sometimes once we become single moms, just the nuances and the emotion and everything changes where the superhero cape comes off, but it doesn't have to come off and go away.
Right.
It's not like it's bye-bye. What has to happen is mom chooses ways to empower her kids to put capes on them too.
Yes.
And now you're all wearing them on.
Right. And it comes off. Because I think sometimes when you get in that comfort zone again, you're just kind of floating through. And that, you know, that's not always bad because sometimes when you're raising kids, you should be able to float through in some areas because it's hard enough raising the baby. So that's not always bad. There needs to be some places in our life where we kind of be comfortable for a little bit to adjust and be able to stay mentally strong.
Yep.
But if we're in that space too long and we aren't challenging in any area, well, then life is going to happen. But for me, taking the cape off just meant it changed the way that I looked at parenting and family.
Right.
It was no longer us versus them kind of thing where here's the bosses and here's the children. No, this is a team.
Right.
And it really shifted. Like you said, all of us now I'm honoring who you are and how strong you are in this area. I'm honoring you and who you are and how strong you are in this area. And then we became this team that can support each other.
Yes.
It changed even our conversations now as they're growing. It's 16 and 13. The things that we talk about. And sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I wasn't ready for that. But I'm just glad you're having those conversations and I'll get myself together and we're going to have them.
Yeah.
But it changes everything.
Right. And then you can, in the middle of those conversations, be like, well, I see your superhero cape. I've seen it this whole time. And because of who you are and because of what you're good at, this is who I see you becoming.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh man, I love that you are intentionally parenting your children.
I think we have to.
Oh, no. Tell me this as we kind of end a little bit. You got into your rock bottom, stuck in the bed. All I'm wearing today is a sheet. The only thing that gets me through is hope. So because we kind of talked about what it was for you at rock bottom, what is it you think for just most single moms in this worst day? What is it that they can hold on to? What will even get them to shift to intentionally parent and not just fall apart?
I think it goes back to that of all the billions of people on this earth, there is still something that only you can do. And you don't have to have it figured out yet. You don't have to have the roadmap. But if you really believe that I was put on this earth for a purpose, and you have no idea on those low, I know when you were on those low days where I literally wanted to take my heart out of my chest and put it on the table because I didn't want to feel, because it hurt to feel.
Yeah.
But if there was in my mind that what if there's more, and if there's something that just I can do, I wonder what it would be like if I lived up to my own potential. Even not understanding, I mean, literally, I was angry with the world. I was angry at God. Whoever I could be angry with, any positive person, those people that I'm mad at, like, forget the bad people. Oh, they're good. They're supposed to, but any positive influence in my life, I was mad at all of them because I was just hurting. And that's what we do when we're hurting. But if I could just hold on to, and that's all I had, was the potential of something greater.
Yes, right. And the potential is the most beautiful thing. Like, if I could sum up everything that I just, like, what I am taking away from you is that there's a challenge out there for each of us.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, do you believe that there is more?
Exactly.
And if there is more, don't you want to see it?
Exactly.
Don't you want to experience it in your own life?
And everything that you are going through, there is a person out there, there is a group of people, there's an army of moms that will be so inspired, encouraged, motivated by your story.
Right.
They can hear my story, they can hear Becca's story, they can hear all, but it's your story mm-hmm. that's going to move them to then begin to push themselves on those hard days. And that becomes a trickle effect of how we support each other as a village, a global village. Yeah. People that we've never even met, maybe face to face. But they heard it on the podcast. They saw you on, you know, some random TV show, or they saw you at the local community center, the whatever groups we're in, at the school, passing in the lines with your kids. You never know whose life you're going to impact. But first of all, start with your own because you are worth it.
My gosh, my friend. I do thank you. You're a very special woman, Janita.
As are you.
If everyone could open their tummies and throw some cookies into them, you are going to want to try Janita's cookies. Check her out. And I really hope that you learned as much as I did today about, one, showing up for yourself, and two, believing that there is more for you. And when you have that belief, you better want to find out what it is. You better want to see who you are in 10 and 20 years from now. And you will affect the life of another person. Thank you so much for tuning in to the To Emerge podcast. Thank you so much for listening to the To Emerge podcast. If you take a second to please subscribe and also leave us a review, more people will find us. A big thanks to Jessica Manning for our music and our producer, Laurel Goulson. And now, as you go about your day, remember, you have choice over who you are. You get to choose how and when you rise up. You will emerge.